This is Fresh Air. It's been almost four decades since David Lynch directed his ill-fated adaptation of Dune, Frank Herbert's classic 1965 science fiction novel. Now the director, Denis Villeneuve, has delivered the first half of a planned two-part movie version featuring an all-star cast led by Timothée Chalamet. It's opening this week in theaters and streaming on HBO Max. Our film critic, Justin Chang, has this review.
Dune may not be the best new movie you'll see this year, but it's easily the most new movie you'll see this year. I left the theater feeling overwhelmed and a little parched, as though I'd spent 2 hours and 35 minutes being pummeled by hot desert winds and blinding sandstorms. The world of Frank Herbert's novel feels big and immersive here in a way it never has on screen, with its futuristic spacecraft, cavernous fortresses, and of course, terrifying sandworms. I've never been a huge fan of Denis Villeneuve's technically stupendous but oddly soulless movies, like Prisoners and Incendie, or bought into the notion that he's some kind of second coming of Stanley Kubrick. Still, there's no question that he's well prepared for this assignment as the director of moodily ambitious science fiction like Arrival, probably his best film, and Blade Runner 2049. He and his co-writers, John Spates and Eric Roth, have made a lucid adaptation of a book that's long been deemed unfilmable. The Chilean filmmaker Alejandro Jodorowsky famously abandoned his Dune movie in the 70s, and David Lynch's 1984 version was deemed such a disaster that Lynch himself disowned it. There was also a bland 2000 miniseries that at least understood that the book might be too dense to squeeze into a single film. That may be why Villeneuve opted to split Dune into two movies. This first installment is a largely faithful retelling of a complicated story. Many millennia into the future, the universe has become a vast feudal society, a sort of interstellar Game of Thrones, in which noble houses control different planets. The most coveted is the desert planet Arrakis, or Dune, the source of a powerful, life-extending substance called spice. As the story opens, there's been an imperial decree that control of Arrakis will be taken away from the treacherous House Harkonnen and handed over to its longtime rival, House Atreides. It's a triumph for the good Duke Leto Atreides, played by Oscar Isaac, though he and his advisors, played by actors including Jason Momoa and Josh Brolin, suspect they may be walking into a trap. Soon after they arrive on Arrakis, a local expert, that's Sharon Duncan Brewster, explains the workings of the special suits they must wear to survive the desert heat. She notices that the Duke's son, Paul Atreides, played by Timothée Chalamet, seems to be one step ahead.
A still suit is a high-efficiency filtration system. Even this early in the morning, you wouldn't survive 2 hours without one of these. It cools the body and recycles the water lost to sweat. Your body's movements provide the power. Inside the mask, you'll find a tube to allow you to drink the recycled water. In good working order, your suit won't lose more than a thimbleful of water a day.
Most impressive.
Let's have a look at you, lad. You've worn a still suit before.
No, this is my first time.
Your desert boots are fitted slip fashion at the ankles. Who taught you to do that?
Seemed the right way.
Chalamet is a great choice for Paul Atreides, a coddled royal heir who could be the Kwisatz Haderach. That's Dune speak for messiah figure or super being. For the most part, the movie keeps Herbert's made-up languages to a minimum. Villeneuve wants even novices to be able to follow along. He plays up the book's ever-resonant subtexts of colonial oppression and ecological disaster, and he's cast even the smaller roles with magnetic actors, like Charlotte Rampling and Stellan Skarsgård, who keep you watching even when the plot begins to tilt into abstraction. Rebecca Ferguson brings a welcome warmth to Lady Jessica, Paul's mother, with whom he flees into the desert when House Atreides comes under attack. And Zendaya and Javier Bardem turn up among the Fremen, the brutally oppressed indigenous people of Arrakis, who will play a larger role in Part 2. For sheer seat-rattling spectacle, Dune is undeniably staggering. The attack on House Atreides is staged with a brooding, quasi-Shakespearean grandeur. And then there are those giant sandworms winding their way through the story, so mysterious and mesmerizing to behold that you almost wouldn't mind being eaten by one just to see what it's like. But there's also something crucial missing. Much of the plot is advanced through elements of mind reading and mind control, so it's a shame that the movie never really gets inside its characters' heads. As with so many of Villeneuve's films, the visuals are stunning, but the storytelling feels rudimentary. You get the sense that he's managed his source material without fully mastering it. In some ways, Lynch's Dune actually got closer to the mind-bending strangeness of Herbert's novel. It had a touch of visionary madness that this movie could use a little more of. Even though Villeneuve's Dune is incomplete by design, there's something odd and unsatisfying about the point at which it slams to a halt. Still, it duly whets your appetite for Part 2, assuming it gets made. That will depend on whether Part 1 does well enough at the box office. I hope Villeneuve gets the chance to finish what he started. This first Dune may not be a great movie, or even half a great movie, but Dune the Planet is gorgeous enough that I wouldn't mind a return visit.
Justin Chang is a film critic for the LA Times. He reviewed the new movie, Dune.